Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for more of your listener questions, including a great question from Bubba Mac. He's asking about the nighttime spectaculars down at Walt Disney World. They have limited time, but there's so much to see. Happily Ever After, Fantasmic, Star Wars. They're going to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween parties and Illuminations. And Bubba needs to know, what makes Illuminations so special? Should he skip it? I say no, but we're going to talk about that here in just a second. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, we're down to 154 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2020. That's right for all the runners out there. January is going to be here before you know it. We're fighting the heat and humidity here in the States right now. But pretty soon we'll have on the long sleeves and then the gloves and the hats and getting ready for a fun weekend down at Marathon Weekend 2020. You can get excited for your next trip just like I do with virtualmickey.com. They have great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. Check them out at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, anytime you do that online shopping, we appreciate it when you support the show by using our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and every purchase does help support what we do here on the podcast. So please bookmark it and use it often. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1521 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. We are so glad that you're here for more of your listener questions where we can talk about anything in the Disney universe and try to solve some problems you may be having or just offer some sage advice or maybe terrible advice. We'll offer advice either way. And I'm really excited because the entire crew is here today, which with busy schedules, we've been having a crazy summer, but we're all here. We're going to have a great time today. So, of course, joining me from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
I'm here. That's that's pretty much all it is. You're right. It's crazy schedules between me and Pam. I think I don't think either one of us is like here ever, so... It's been nuts.
I mean, there's just a lot of travel going on, which, I mean, that's what summer's all about, and you got to make the most of it because, you know what, Labor Day is going to be here before you know it.
Oh yeah, and then my travels will continue after Labor Day. So I just keep looking at my calendar and I'm going, what weekends am I actually going to be home?
You know what too is, you know, this will shock the folks that are listening on the East Coast, but Mallory starts middle school tomorrow. So can you believe it? School's back in session tomorrow here in the Midwest.
That's crazy. Wow. That's crazy.
Summer that's comes came up so quickly. And goes quickly. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, so glad to have you back. How's it going?
I am glad to be back. It's going great. My August is like, I go somewhere, I'm home for like 2 or 3 days. I go somewhere else, then I'm home for like 2 or 3 days. Then I go somewhere else, and I'm home for like 2 or 3 days. But, I mean, you know, that's what it's about, right? Doing that kind of stuff. So.
Pretty much. And you're headed to Hilton Head, right, here soon?
Hilton Head!
Oh, I'm so jealous.
So now, so fantastic. I know you guys went to that general area. I don't know if you're staying at the DVC Hilton Head, but I know you stayed at like a house there last summer. What's that town like? I mean, just real quick for folks that have never been to Hilton Head, like just the city. I mean, I've heard it's really nice.
So it is, I mean, there's not a ton to do in Hilton Head. There's some good restaurants and, you know, but the main attraction, of course, is the beach and the dunes and that's, you know, the low country there in that space. The Disney Hilton Head Resort is actually not located on the beach, believe it or not. They have a beach house that is located on the ocean that you can go to. It's sort of located in the marsh area, which is a really cool area too. There's, you know, the thing is that I think about that is as soon as you step on property, it really does feel like you're at a Disney property.
Yeah, it does.
They have, you know, a store, they have Mickey bars, they have stuff like that.
They have refillable mugs.
They really do. So yeah. It's really sweet too. But I think, you know, one of the things that started us thinking about this was we were on a Disney vacation and we're sort of challenged maybe to come up with something that didn't involve so much planning and fast passes and scheduling and stuff like that. And guess what? When we go to Hilton Head, nobody has to make reservations for dining 6 months in advance. There's no fast pass at, you know, 10:30 a.m. that we have to get to. And we have not only the ocean that we can drive to, but we always rent a house with a pool. So it's pretty easy.
Damn. All right. We can't wait to hear about that. But let's get to the Disney talk. I love this first question. Again, it's from Bubba Mac. He says, hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My wife and I are going on our first trip to the world, August 17 through 24. Hashtag find Ricky. Heads up. Bubba Mac. Bubba Mac's out looking for you, Ricky. So be ready.
All right. I'll be there for the weekend.
From his little avatar, from his email, he's got a beard and kind of like a thick mustache. So I'll forward it to you so you know who to look for.
Somebody named Bubba Mac.
That's it. Are you, anybody that comes up behind you like in line or something, be like, are you Bubba Mac? Are you hashtag finding Ricky? Anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
So he says, we'll be able to see Illuminations before it's gone, but we're not sure that we're going to. There's so many nighttime shows that we really want to do. Happily Ever After, Fantasmic, Star Wars, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. We've watched Illuminations on YouTube, but it kind of left us flat. I know that Mike loves this show, so I'm wondering if there's something that we're missing or if it's more nostalgia. So Mike, what makes it so great? Please sell me on why we should go see this over Fantasmic or Star Wars. It's going to be both of our first times as well as our honeymoon and my wife's birthday on August 22nd. We could not be more excited and can't thank you all enough for all you've done to educate us. Bubba. All right. First of all, congratulations on your wedding and have a great first trip. Nothing like first trip. It's going to be amazing. So, you know, before I kind of get into my Illuminations, you know, not a rant or anything about it. I love Illuminations, but I think Bubba kind of hit it. There's a lot of nostalgia in there for me that sells it. Pam, what about you though? Because I think we all three have kind of quick, just mini thoughts on Illuminations and what makes it special.
So I really enjoy Illuminations because it has been such a part of Epcot for so long. I will say, I loved the whole nighttime thing a little more when it was Tapestry of
Agreed.
Dreams or Nations and Illuminations. I felt like they fit together really well. They sort of told a story, right, that went together. And I loved that. The thing I like about Illuminations is that it really does have a great message. You know, when you think about it, there are not a ton of fireworks in Illuminations. I mean, it's certainly a fireworks show, right? But it's like 20 some minutes. And I would say the fireworks part of it is
5 or 6 total. Yeah, total. Yeah.
Yes. Right around there. And so to me, I always wonder about, you know, when you call it, it's sort of a nighttime spectacular. And so many people refer to it as the fireworks, but it's not really a great, you know, communication of it. It's a lot of music and a lot of lasers and a lot of things like that. So I love the way that they incorporate the countries into it, but I think that they could do more of that moving forward. So I'll be interested to see if that's what happens, you know, with whatever they do next moving forward with this. But it just has fantastic music. It really does. It's heartwarming. It's moving. You feel all those emotions as you're listening to the music.
Ricky, what about you? I mean, you know, he's thinking about skipping it. He's not a gigantic, you know, he wasn't sold on it on YouTube, which I have a hard time with for the fact that, you know, seeing a nighttime spectacular live with, you know, Illuminations, part of the fireworks are actually the percussion of the soundtrack. You know, like the booms are actually the drums. You know, if you think about it, parts of the show. So YouTube isn't going to sell that as much. What do you think? I know you're not as big of a fan as I am, but
I love Illuminations. I really do, and it really is because of the music. The music is what makes Illuminations for me. You know, the fireworks are spectacular, don't get me wrong. But Pam's right, the fireworks are only maybe 30-40% of the entire show. And the rest is the music and the visuals of the globe and the lasers and the fountains and everything else. So there's a lot to Illuminations, and you're right, I don't think it can be conveyed necessarily fully in the videos that people see. I think if I was going to choose, I think that I personally would probably skip Fantasmic, and I know that a lot of people are like, but like for me, that's just a hit or miss, and I tend to miss more than hit. I would much rather see Illuminations than I do something like Fantasmic. It's a fine show, but I feel like I would, especially given that it is the last time you get to see Illuminations, I would much rather skip Fantasmic over and see Illuminations over it. So that would be my suggestion. Plus it's going to be so hard. You more likely have to be at Hollywood Studios two nights to be able to catch both Fantasmic Star Wars fireworks. So I keep wanting to call everything Galaxy's Edge now with the Star Wars related. But yeah, so you definitely have to be there two nights. So I would rather catch Illuminations instead of trying to fight back to get to see Fantasmic.
Fantasmic's a lot of work. I love Fantasmic, and it's Pam's favorite show. My Pam, she loves it, and I love it too, because I mean, you get a seat, you're in a stadium, which is comfortable. You know, it's a lot more comfortable than just standing around or, you know, hunting stuff. But great show there, but it is a lot of work to get back there to the Hollywood Theater, I think it's called. The only thing about Illuminations, you nailed it. It is nostalgia for me. I think what you're going to find on this first trip for you, Bubba, is that if you fall in love with Disney the way the three of us have, that when you go those initial times, those are the times you're going to cherish for the rest of your life and you're going to hold on to. You know, like for me, it's a Spectro Magic. Like, God, like that soundtrack is burned in my soul, because that was the soundtrack of the nights, the first times I was at the Magic Kingdom. Illuminations and Tapestry of Nations and Dreams with those drums and the made up Hela, Hela. Mm-hmm. You know, I like that is burned in my memory, the best times ever when I discovered Disney. So it might not be as big a deal for you, but again, it's one of those things where, you know, you watch it now or you never see it again. So it's go or forever hold your peace on that one. So
yeah, pretty much.
But I mean, the good news is you can't go wrong on any of them. So just have a good time and whatever, you know, strikes your fancy, do it. All right, we had a question here in the live chat. We're going to get to those. Let's see. Jennifer says, is it crazy to book a trip only a few months ahead of time? Thinking about booking a trip in the middle of November. And Pam, I know that you're one that doesn't schedule your trips usually more than a few months ahead of time. Like, that may be a big lead time for you. So give her some advice. I don't think it's nuts. I mean, actually, if it works on the schedule, those are kind of the less, I think those kind of trips bring less pressure and you actually get more out of the trip, because it's almost like everything's gravy. You're not like so stressed out for, you know, 9 months in advance.
It's so true. It's so true. And I think that is, you know, as much as people, I think, get wrapped up in the planning, a really great trip can be planned just months in advance. It does not. It's, you know, I think what has happened is we have such a passion for Disney, and the whole input via social media thing has made things, you know, right there and available for us, so much so that we sort of crowdsource opinions on everything. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the best restaurant? And then people fill in the blank, and you feel like if you don't get to eat at that restaurant, then things are going to be off the rails, right? Not knowing maybe or realizing there are literally hundreds of other restaurants you can eat at that you will have as good of an experience as the crowdsourced quote best restaurant, right? And that in particular is such an individual kind of thing. So I think planning a last minute trip sort of forces you maybe not to eat at the best restaurant, right? Because that one's probably already thought of, because everyone else has crowdsourced that as well, right? You're not going to get maybe Ohana. Maybe you aren't going to get to eat at Ohana.
And let's be honest, Pam, some of those best restaurants aren't great anymore. You know, like you mentioned Ohana, I hear it's very hit or miss. So, you know, you might find a new favorite restaurant that is off the beaten path in that shape.
That's what I absolutely think that especially trips that are thought of as quote last minute really give you the opportunity to do is find your new favorite. Whether you've been there before or you've just listened to everyone else, it gives you an opportunity to find a hidden gem, which that's incredible. I think that's part of the beauty of Disney is being able to find those little hidden gems and being able to find the thing that really appeals to you the most. It makes you be a little more flexible, but you know what? That's always, always a good thing, I think, you know, forcing yourself to be a little more flexible. You'll be able to take advantage of cool things that you didn't think about, and all of that. So see, you know, what you can get in terms of dining. You can't even do FastPass yet, so you're not late for that. Mm-hmm. So you still have plenty of time to kind of get that. And guess what? Your hours are more set in stone than folks who did plan 6 months in advance. Yeah, sure. You have a better idea of that. Yeah. Now, don't think that your hours still can't change because they can change the day before you get there.
That's true.
But I think when you plan sort of a last minute trip, it also, you're already in flexibility mode. So those are all the things that you'll keep, you know, in mind. I could show up at Disney the day after I decided to be there and have a fantastic trip. And you can too. So yeah. Go and enjoy.
And two, the thing is, like, it's an opportunity to try places you haven't tried. Maybe some of the second tier restaurants, you know, in air quotes, see how people see them. They might not be. They might be your new favorite, but you just never had the chance because you're always going for, like Ricky said, Ohana or Cape May or what have you. Be a guest, all that stuff, you know. So it's that. And also, you know, here's another thing I think you got to consider is that when we went down for Mallory's Cheer in May, we almost ate all counter service. And the thing is, the counter service is so excellent at Walt Disney World right now. I mean, it's not just burgers and fries. You can get... I mean, just think about it. I mean, there's so many great counter service restaurants. Just supplement it with a sit down meal here and there. Do counter service for a last minute trip and you're not going to starve. You're going to have great dining experiences. It's good. All right. Megan's got the next question. She says, what will the bus stops be like moving forward at Coronado? Single bus stop at the tower and then a 3-stop loop. Pam, did you notice anything when you stayed there? What's the story of that?
Right. So the stop that used to be stop number one at Coronado was actually at El Centro, and now that is at the tower. So stop number one is actually the last stop that gets picked up before you head to the parks, but it's the first stop when it's going to Disney Springs. There are a total of 4 stops at Coronado to go from to the tower and all of the other areas of the resort, the cabanas, the casitas, and the ranchos. So each location has its own bus stop, and they've just eliminated the one that was by El Centro, and now it's at the tower. So it's actually a very nice bus stop. It's right there by the tower, and it's kind of covered, so you don't have that. But it lets in like air in a way that some of those bus stops do not. So I will say that too. But yeah, it's a really nice bus stop. So that's how it's going to be for now.
I will say too, when I see pictures people have been posting of Grandestino Tower at night, I swear when I see those on Instagram, it looks like Vegas. Like, just like, I mean, this reminds me of from a distance, like a Bellagio or something. You know, I still have to get used to the tall tower at Walt Disney World. I'm not used to that yet.
I know, and it's cool to see it on the skyline. It really, truly is. It's just a cool thing to see because there aren't that many tall buildings on Disney property. So.
All right, Kara's got a question. I've seen the new Halloween Mickey Magic Band is available and ordered one for our trip in a couple of weeks' time. Do we know if it has any special features like glow-in-the-dark or fragranced? That'd be cool. Does it smell or stink, Ricky? I mean, you're the news person, so... give us the overall news on the new Magic Bands, because there's new ones out. I saw somebody posted a Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, like AP holders can do the custom ones.
You know what? I am not entirely sure. I did not go to, so I went to Epcot this weekend, and Epcot didn't have any Halloween stuff out. Obviously that was the only park I went to, so I didn't see if there were anything, like at the Magic Kingdom is usually the park that has those things first. I'm trying to find, I'm guessing that she probably got it on Shop Disney. And so I'm trying to find out about that there. And of course I can't find anything as we're talking. So I would assume that it's probably not going to be doing anything special. you know, just, but if it does, then hey, it does something special. But I'm going to assume that it probably doesn't, just because I think most of those magic bands just are kind of standard. They just have the special Halloween design on them. So
cool. All right. Here's another question from Chance Porter. He's always in here with us. Any updates on Woody's Backyard Barbecue opening date, Ricky? Anything on that? I know they've started working on it.
I mean, I don't even know that they've started construction, to be honest. I think I haven't. I know that there's a Twitter user named BioReconstruct who does flyovers, and they're amazing, by the way. But I don't. I haven't. I didn't notice whether or not he recently did one over Hollywood Studios, and I didn't notice whether there was talk about Woody's backyard barbecue. That's what it is, right? Something like that.
I thought it was like backwards of what we thought it should be. I thought it was like Woogie. I thought it should be Woody's Backyard Barbecue, but it was like Woody's Barbecue Backyard or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It's anyway, I don't expect that will open until at earliest, maybe summer next year, but I would say probably fall to, oh my gosh, next year is 2020. So probably either fall 2020 or maybe winter 2021. Maybe something.
We're gonna have some good barbecue with Woody's Backyard Barbecue and the Regal Beagle. That's gonna be awesome.
The Regal Beagle.
Jack Tripper will be there serving you, and the girls. Janet.
Should be. exactly.
Mr. Roper.
Now the Regal Eagle should be opening sooner rather than later because they're not having to build a brand new building. It's already there. They just have to reconfigure everything. So I suspect that one will be open at the probably fall, winter, or probably winter this year. So maybe early spring, early winter, you know, early winter 2020. Or
you're just making stuff up now.
Yeah, I'm making stuff up. Yeah,
I'm on you. Totally.
It's just based off of the fact that they don't have to knock the whole building down. So I would say probably, you know, late winter or early winter 2019 or into 2020, somewhere around there.
So we need to get one more female, and we need to dress up like Jack Tripper and the three girls, like at the opening of Regal Eagle. There were two. I thought there were three.
Are you watching?
I don't know.
See, what happened was Chrissy left after, you know, so she was replaced. There were actually like three or four different blondes throughout the course of the series. But
I think Pam would make a good Chrissy.
Yeah, so we totally need to dress up like Jack Tripper in the Three's Company crew. But also, yeah, it would make sense. There's three because the show's called Three's Company. But we also need a Mr. and Mrs. Roper. And Mr. Roper has to wear an ascot.
Oh,
yes. We got to do this photo op the day it opens.
Mrs. Roper always had the moon.
Yes. It's going to be awesome. This is how we hatch these ideas. I have no idea, but that's going to be the most epic shot in front of the Regal Eagle. And we'll just put a B. Anyway. All right, back to Disney. Josh has a question. Where are the family suites located at All-Star Music? Are they basically preferred locations? Looking at a possible Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween trip over Labor Day, and we are growing out of a regular room as a family of five. Would y'all do the suite or a moderate that sleeps five? Pam, thoughts on that? Suites at All-Star Music.
So the Suites of All-Star Music are located at the Calypso and Jazz buildings. And, you know, I guess you could kind of call them a preferred-ish location, those. But they can be, you know, I don't know that they aren't classified as such. You know what I mean? They're just, you're staying at an All-Star Music suite. The thing that I think is a bonus with the family suites is the two bathrooms. And I think that's something you want to consider when you're deciding whether you could do it in a moderate or you want to look at one of the family suites. I think two bathrooms, once your kids get to a certain age, are really, really important.
Amen. Preach on.
But the other thing that you can always consider is two rooms at a value or a moderate too. And depending on, you know, what's available, whether there are any specials, all of that, those are all going to be probably around the same price point. The other benefit of the family suite, of course, is the microwave and little kitchenette area. So I see that as a positive too. Check out the beds. Check out the whole, you know, the pictures of the room. Over on the Mouse for Less, there are great photos of all the different resorts for sure. So check those out and see what kind of appeals to you. The table beds are actually fairly comfortable. It's really just a full-on mattress that is on, you know, a platform, and that's always a comfortable bed. So think about that. Now, once you move into the moderate, you're going to be able to stay at Riverside in one of the Alligator Bayou rooms, and you will also be able to consider Caribbean Beach as a possibility as well. And then all of the deluxe resorts, except for Animal Kingdom Lodge and Wilderness Lodge, can accommodate up to 5 in a standard room. They have that day bed configuration that's available. So those are kind of all your, you know, resort options, and you're going to have to think about those out. And it really just depends on what you value, what you prefer as a family.
All right, good luck and have fun at the Halloween party. All right, Marlisa, always in the chat and always very kind to the show. We appreciate her so much. She says, to park hopper, not to park hop. Confession, I've never used a park hopper. Oh, but I'm considering it for my upcoming trip with my boyfriend. Is it worth it if we'd probably only hop parks one or two of the days? Is it nice just having the availability? And here's where I think we're going to intersect here, or diverge, I should say. Pam, I know you always want the park hop. And see, the problem is when you have an annual pass, you have it built in. And it's right. So nice to not have to think about that question, because this is a tough question. It's about $60 a ticket-ish to add the park hopper option, but pre-tax. So it's, you know, it's non-trivial to add it if you're thinking about it, depending on, you know, how long you're there and so forth. I'd say the longer you're there, the more, because it's an all or nothing proposition. You know, I get this question a lot from guests, like, can I park hop just 2 of the days out of the 7? Well, that'd be great, but you can't. It's an all or nothing proposition. If you're only going to park hop once or twice, personally, I would probably just firm up my plans and maybe save the money. It does give you flexibility, and it gives you like a, whew, we don't have to sweat anything. We can make our ADRs wherever we want. That's nice, but you got to, you know, is that worth the $60 or so to add on? It's totally up to you. So I'm going to go over to Ricky, because I know, Pam, you're going to say, get the park hopper. But I mean, that's you. I mean, you make so many good arguments for it. But Ricky, what do you say? Because I don't know, I'm kind of frugal that way. I may try to save it, but then I may regret it. I mean, you got to do it the whole time. Like, so if you're going to do it, you know, minute one.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you plan on doing like a full day in a park, don't take a break type situation, kind of like I do. Then yeah, okay, I understand where it would make sense to maybe not park hop. But if you are like Mike and you like to take the half day kind of situation, you know, go in the morning to one park and then maybe, you know, take a break and then go in the afternoon, I would maybe consider the park hopper. I think that that's a really good use of it. It just depends on how you end up vacationing. If you're a go, go, go all day type person like I usually am, then park hopping is not, I feel like it's not as necessary. I feel like you can get a lot done in the park that you're in at that point. But if you're already taking a break and everything, you might as well add it on.
Yeah, that's kind of the cheater's way to do it, though, is like just go in the morning, go back to your hotel, swim, nap, and then go back at night. It's almost like heart hopping, and you divide the park in half. You know, World Showcase also, in the morning, Future World at night. Probably you'd want to reverse that.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking. But, like, you know, you could do, like, the left side of the Magic Kingdom and the right side, or, you know, there's many ways to go about it where it's like a pseudo park hopper without paying it.
Another thing to keep in mind, too, is if you plan on taking advantage of, like, extra magic hours, then I would definitely add the park hopper, because then in the morning, once you go to the park that has extra magic hours, then you can leave that park and go to a different park, because that park will inevitably be more crowded. Same thing goes for the evening. You can go to a different park that day, and then once extra magic hours hits, you can go into that other park, and it's, again, you won't have to deal with the larger crowds, because everybody is, you know, not everybody has park hoppers, so they're all going to that park for the whole day. So that's another thing to keep in mind, is if you're looking to take advantage of extra magic hours, I would add the park hopper.
Good tip. And Dennis, our good friend, who is my favorite Star Wars podcaster, says every time I've had it, I ended up using it. Plus, it is a great save when you're feeling worn out by one park and you need to change the scenery.
Yeah,
so it's exactly true. That extra magic hours can definitely make that happen. So good point by Dennis. All right, we have a question from the inbox. BBB questions and post makeover strategy. Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, really enjoy the podcast. Looking forward to your help, Mike, on our future cruise. Well, thank you so much. There's nothing you can do wrong on a cruise. They're amazing. It's so easy. See here, I have two questions about an upcoming trip to the world in November. We have a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique reservation at the Magic Kingdom at 8 o'clock a.m. Magic Kingdom is scheduled to open at 9 a.m. As of now, there are no extra magic hours or early morning magic scheduled in the Magic Kingdom for the day. It's a Tuesday, November 5th. Number one, when we enter the Magic Kingdom prior to 8 a.m. Will any of the food places on Main Street be open for us to grab a quick breakfast, something grab and go, muffins, etc.? My husband may need to keep my six-year-old son entertained while we're in the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, and I was hoping they could get some food and coffee. Ricky, I don't think that's going to happen, right? You have to bring your own.
What time is the reservation?
So they're going in at 8 for the reservation. The park doesn't open until 9 as of right now.
So the Starbucks should be open.
You think?
So, yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Starbucks should be open. So you should be able to get something there.
Good. Yeah. And then, like, a six-year-old on coffee. I mean, come on.
I mean,
now.
They have, you know.
No, just kidding.
She did say breakfast.
I know,
so they
kidding.
Have, like, breakfast sandwiches or, you know, other things that you can grab. Yeah.
What's the most caffeinated thing you served at Starbucks? I don't drink that stuff. So, like, what's the one you get if you wanted to be, like, just bouncing off the walls? Like, what do you order?
We had a guy who would come in every day, and he would get a venti coffee, and then he would add 4 shots of espresso in the coffee. And he didn't do this one time a day. He did this twice a day. So, yes.
Dude, were you,
that's a lot.
Were you, like, legally in New Mexico, like, having to report that guy? Like, that's almost criminal.
What's funny is he cut it down from 6 shots.
My God. Why doesn't he just drink whatever that stuff is? Forget the coffee. It's like tequila. So I'm just drinking.
It was a lot. And he didn't put anything in it. He just drank it straight. Like, it was just, that's all he did. Yeah. So he was a nice guy though. I liked him. So.
Nice. He never slept, but he was a great guy.
No, he's a nice guy.
And your second question is, more importantly, my daughter is 4 and a half and princess obsessed. What's the best plan for where to go after her Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique appointment? Straight back to the princess meet and greets in Fantasyland? I'd like to not use a fast pass on characters when possible. Anything else we should do, make a beeline for, since we may be in the park as rope drop happens, aside from Mine Train, which we'll likely skip if we don't get a fast pass? We have 2 Magic Kingdom days on this visit, but this is the princess focus day. Pam will be happy to know that we booked the fireworks dessert party for that evening, too. Thanks, Jessica, up in Springfield, Virginia, 855 miles from Walt Disney World. All right, so here's the thing, Pam, help me out here, but I think when you're doing something as special as Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, your daughter's never going to look, like, cuter. I mean, she'll look cute, like, when she goes to prom and stuff. But you know what? Like, right now, she's 4 and a half. Like, she's dialed up, man. This is her day. Everybody's going to be, hey, princessing her all day. You know, fellow guests, cast members will be, you know, bowing to her. This is the day that you do use fast passes on meet and greets, because you just get as many pictures as possible and yes, make sure you have Memory Maker, right?
Absolutely. So Memory Maker has got to be our number one tip always that we do tell our guests about. We try to remind them a few times throughout the planning process, just because I think it adds that much to your vacation. I truly do. Look, you're going to have the memories, but you're going to want the pictures. And that's just the end of it. And I absolutely look, your daughter is dressed up like a princess and she's going to meet other princesses. Hello. These are things that you're going to want. So I absolutely think these are the times that you want to use those fast passes on all those character meet and greets. And I would probably even get her with Mickey and Minnie,
yes,
too. Even though Mickey and Minnie aren't a princess, she's dressed like a princess. I mean, come on. You have Christmas cards in the making, my friend. So love this. And you know what I love? I love to see how many Christmas cards I get each year that I'm like, oh, Memory Maker photo right there.
Kim Taylor took that shot.
Exactly. So it's just so sweet, and I love it. And you're also going to want to think about some of the locations that look very royal, like the castle, and there are certain walls that are great, and go over by
Ariel's castle. We can't start them at 4 and a half on all the walls. Come on now. Let them at least get to be 14.
Kind of walls. I mean, like, a brick-looking castle-y wall. So, yeah, there's just a lot of great opportunities. Try and seek them out and find them, because you're going to just treasure those.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Ricky. Go ahead.
I will say, though, if they're doing it first thing in the morning, the good news is They don't have to use that fast pass if they don't want to, because if they head over there first thing, they should be able to get in without much of a wait for Princess Fairy Tale Hall. And I would also suggest probably going over to Enchanted Tales with Belle at first thing as well.
Yes, that'd be awesome. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So you won't likely need a fast pass for either of those attractions if you go first thing in the morning. So I would make your fast passes for some of the more thrilling attractions or the harder to get attractions later in the afternoon or after you plan on doing all that stuff, maybe at, you know, at 10 or 11 or something like that. And then I would definitely go in and do Princess Fairy Tale Hall and Enchanted Tales with Belle first. Like I said, you won't have much of a wait.
I will say, you want some practical parenting advice from Mike from being there? Because I've done this with Mallory. We went early. We used our fast passes to meet Mickey and Tinkerbell and Cinderella and all the Princess Fairy Tale Hall people, and it was great. I mean, that's honestly the way to go. But hang on, I gotta give the practical parenting advice. Your kid is never gonna want to swim more than she will want to swim that day at around noon. And you're like, ain't happening. Dude, I just paid $180 for that hairdo. Like, you might not spend that much on your wedding day to get your hair done. You are not swimming. You're probably not swimming for the next 72 hours. After I paid all that money for the makeup, you're sleeping on your back. You're not rolling over. You're wearing this hair like that for the next 3 days. I'm just saying, from a cheap dad who did Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique a couple times, your kid will want to swim. You got to say N-O. Ain't happening. The pool has been closed. It is every pool at Walt Disney World, water parks included, closed. Not happening. Go ahead, Ricky. Sorry.
Okay. So the other option that I was thinking that I forgot to mention was you could potentially try to do a later breakfast or early lunch at Cinderella Royal Table as well. It just depends on if you want to spend the money to go to Cinderella Royal Table and you can get the reservation.
So good call. That's another option. All right, time for the last question of the day. It's coming from Kara from the chat room. I saw a rumor today about It's a Small World being updated for the Walt Disney World anniversary, and they're including the Disney characters. What are your thoughts on this? Is it a good change? I know some people won't like a classic being altered. I think it would be, I think I would like to see it, though. It sounds fun. So is this not what they've done at Disneyland, Pam? They have the characters incorporated?
They do have the characters in. It's actually very subtle. It doesn't intrude, I don't think, on the nostalgia of the original Small World. I mean, and now that the rumor is out there, there will be people who are mad that it's happening and people who were mad if it doesn't happen. So even though Disney did not release the rumor. So, I mean, I think it's hard for Disney to win in these kind of instances, right? But I actually really like it. And one of the reasons why I like it is I remember, and I, you know, can hear it when we're in the boat, little kids find, they know those characters. So that's something that's more engaging to them. Like, there's Alice and, you know, things like that. So I think it lends to a lot of conversations for many different reasons. Like, is that where that character's from, the country that they're representing there in Small World? Or how about you look for and insert the character's name, you know, and see that. So I think it just gives you a lot of different options with that. And I think that is what makes Disney attractions something that appeals to so many of us. How many times can you repeat that attraction and still be engaged with it? And if by making a little tweak that makes it more engaging to some folks, I'm okay with it. I'm not like a purist at heart. I am not ever going to be one of those people who are like, we cannot change this. This will whatever. I mean, I love Carousel of Progress, but if they updated it today and replaced that last scene, I'd be like...
I love the last scene. I love that. That last scene is so
maybe
90s.
The last scene could be the second to the last scene, because we've moved beyond that at this point. Let me tell you, I'm never getting a dining room table with those chairs. That time has gone.
Me too. Right, me too. You're so... Yeah, I mean, we back in the day, we didn't have a car phone. Come
exactly.
On
and laziness.
Right? Maybe it could be second to the last scene. I'm just saying, like, we can move on into something that could conceivably be in the future.
I don't know. Ricky, I mean, what do you think about adding the care? I think Disneyland did it right from what I've seen. It's like Pam said, it's subtle. It's nice.
Yeah, I've been to Disneyland and I've seen their version, and I didn't hate it. Now, at first, I was one of those people who was up in arms when they announced it back then. You know, Mercy, I was like,
"Are up in arms person?"
Exactly. They can't do this. That's terrible. They're you know, especially because the Disneyland version was Walt's version. And then I saw it and I was like, "Okay, it's not so bad." Since it now, look, again, it's a rumor. I don't hold a lot of rumors true until I see them a few places that I trust. So I'm just saying that right now, it is a rumor and that's that. But if they did it to Walt Disney World, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. It is not Walt's version. I have zero problem with it in that regard. I think it is fine. Now, what I would love to see them do, and they won't, but
is take the country bears and put them into the small world, right?
No, in the tiki birds,
put them in there too. Just make it 3-in-1.
No, what I would really love to see them do is kind of take what they did at Disneyland Paris and bring that over. And I don't know if it's longer, but what they did at Disneyland Paris is there are so many more different cultures depicted in that version of It's a Small World. There's so many different scenes that aren't included in ours that I think would work really well. And I would very much like to see, instead of maybe adding the characters, add more cultures into It's a Small World and do a little bit more like they did in Disneyland Paris. I have the video. I need to post it on the Mouse for Less because I did film that one because I thought it was so spectacular. It is the best It's a Small World I've ever seen. So that's what I would like to see. You know, I mean, they had Mounties and ice skaters and they had a genie. And like, I mean, there were so many cool things in that version that I would love to see brought to our version. That's what I would like to see over the characters. But if they added characters, I mean, that would be fine too. But yeah.
All right. We'll have to wait and see on that. We just like talking about things that may or may not happen. It's kind of fun. And, you know, we'll be here soon. I mean, things are getting announced hot and heavy. And of course, D23 coming up here in a couple weeks.
The
big announcement is going to be the Disney airline, right? Just kidding. Yeah. I doubt that. Anyway, we are going to get out of here. Thank you so much for your listener questions. Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Don't forget it was brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, what are we reading about this week on this awesome free iOS app?
Okay, so if you are fans of magnets and annual pass holders,
and who isn't?
You are going to want to head to Epcot. There are going to be two magnets this year, which means I have to figure out how I'm getting down there twice.
That's their plan. You're following right. No, they're like, yes, we got Ricky.
Because I have to get the second magnet. The first one is a Minnie Mouse magnet, and she's adorable. I love her. And that's one I'm definitely getting. But then now I have to figure out how to get down there the second time. Oh, Minnie Mouse will be given out from August 29th till October 14th. And then the one that I have to, is the Chef Remy pass holder magnet, which is going to be given out October 15th through November 23rd. And his background is a wheel of cheese, and I freaking love it.
Okay.
It's so adorable. It's a wheel of cheese. Anyway, they also have one.
Apparently your cat likes it too. Your cat likes cheese.
He wants cheese. They also have one at Disney's Animal Kingdom, which is going to be Simba, and that one is going to be given out starting August 29th as well. That's going to be at the Discovery Trading Company, and I have a problem. I am addicted to the magnets. It is true. I have every single one, and now it's an obsession, and this is my obsession. I don't, collect, pins or, you know, things like that, but give me a free pass holder magnet, and I'm like, how do I get down there?
The $1,200 magnets.
Exactly. Hey, I paid a lot of money for that.
That's right. That's right. All right. Get all this latest news to read over your breakfast cereal every morning, free for iOS device over at virtualmickey.com. Please support the show, especially with back to school. You're buying all those school supplies and stuff for the house as we get into the fall. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Get all those prime benefits. Cost you nothing extra and really does help support the show. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, we got a great Facebook page. We're live almost every Monday and lots of Sunday nights as well. We'll probably do a call-in show this Sunday night, so watch for that as well. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to duck out of here, and we'll be back again on Friday where we hear about Pam and Ricky going down to Walt Disney World here over the last week or so. And some quick updates and a fun, different kind of trip for Pam. So we're going to be talking about that as well. So until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.